I mean, I'll just cover it by reading the headline here as it regards the Leafs. The Leafs play the waiting game with defensemen. There has been a development since you wrote that on Wednesday, and that happened last night. Andreas Johnsson and his approximately $3 million cap hit is likely headed to long-term injured reserve and could be done for the season with a knee injury that Sheldon Keefe has described as not something that will be short-term.
Yep.
How significantly does this affect what Kyle Dubas may or may not do over the next couple of weeks?
I think it adds to the space that he can do something with. There's no question. I mean, if they're going to, Johnsson's a good player. If they can handle an injury anywhere, it's up front. I mean, they've got a lot of forwards. But I think that they will, I think Riley's appointment is today. So I think this probably tells them as much as anything else. To me, the biggest question was always, what did they learn about Riley's health? And I think that that's the one, I think, Scott, that's going to give them an idea of what they need to do.
Elliot, when I'm watching yesterday's game, I know it's a 3-2 game. It's a tight game. But when you look at the Dallas Stars and the Toronto Maple Leafs, I you tell me if I'm seeing things, but I don't see this a similar team. They almost look in different area codes. Dallas, hardworking, stick-checking, physical, tight in their own end. And then the Leafs are just almost a step behind all game, not as physical, not ready to start the periods. Is that accurate? Am I way off base?
Well, no, I think it's pretty accurate. I mean, last night, but the thing is, like, they played 2 weeks ago in Dallas, and Toronto played maybe their best game of the year. Like, when Toronto plays Dallas, it all comes down to who controls the tempo, right? And when they played in Dallas, the Leafs controlled it. They played at a faster pace. Dallas couldn't keep up. They handled all their physicalness, and they won. And they were really good. I was really impressed with Toronto that night. Last night, it was more of Dallas's game, especially in the first period. They didn't give Toronto much, a few chances. And, you know, as you mentioned, the Maple Leafs got beaten. You know, Dallas.
Elliot is cut out, so we will endeavor to get him back on the line. Elliot, pick up on that thought.
Yeah, so sorry about that. So that game in Dallas, they owned them. They controlled the tempo in that game, and Dallas couldn't keep up. I thought it was maybe their best game of the year. But last night, Dallas was the team that owned it. They controlled the game. They slowed it down. They scored on the first shot of every period, and the Leafs didn't get a lot of chances. And, you know, that the thing about the first shot, it's the seventh time this year Toronto's given up a goal on the first shot of a game. Like, it's such a weird stat, I don't know what that is, but it's just there. And it's hard to do that much. You know, you're constantly chasing the game, and even though they're a really talented team, it's not somewhere you want to be. And the other thing too, guys, is that third goal, Toronto this year, it happened in the Ranger game last week, the night they traded for Campbell, off faceoffs in their own zone, they give up a lot. And they won that one last night. They drew it back and simply got beaten to the puck. And, you know, those are the detail-oriented things that when the playoffs come, if you're not good at them, they burn you.
You noticing the standings in the Atlantic Division these days, Elliot?
It's kind of hard not to.
Oh, my God, the Tampa Bay Lightning. They've caught Boston. And you know what that means.
Yes, I know.
2-3, baby. 2-3.
Believe me, you know, where everybody's aware of it. You know what the funniest thing about that was, Scott, was early in the year when Boston was running away with it, Leaf fans were like, okay, we don't have to worry about Boston.
Oh,
oh my God, we're going to have to play Tampa. And now it's like, oh my God, we're going to have to play Boston again. Like, there's no relief in sight. You know, the one thing about the Lightning, Scott, is that earlier in the year, I had a chance to speak to their GM, Julien Brisebois, and he said, our underlying numbers, they're good. You know, I know our record doesn't look great, but our underlying numbers are really good and we're going to be fine. And, you know, he turned out to be correct. And last night, you know, you look at the guys they didn't have last night. They didn't have Stamkos. They didn't have Kucherov. They didn't have McDonough. They didn't have Jan Ruda. And still they won. Like, that's, they didn't have Cirelli. That's a good team, a really good team.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no question about that. It comes back to the conversation, Elliot, about the formatting of the playoffs. Where do you come down on this? I think it very clearly helps to build certain rivalries if you happen to bump into the same team each and every year. The Leafs, they're not, 68 points. I mean, they're not one of the elite teams by points this season in the way that they were last year. But to fall 2-3 and play the Boston Bruins again, I've always been a proponent of 1-8-2-7-3-6-4-5. I'd like the league to go back to that. Where do you come down on it?
I generally agree with you. I like that too. I like that. I actually would like to see a play-in round. I'm a big believer in that. There should be the top six teams should be get in each conference, and then it should be 7-10-8-9, two games total goals. Sudden death overtime if it's tied after two games, played on back-to-back nights at the home of the higher-seeded team. Like, the higher-seeded team gets both home games. That's what I'd like to see. But they won't do it. I mean, the commissioner he's told me how much he thinks that idea is stupid. but I would like to see I would like to see that. But I generally prefer top eight in both divisions, in both conferences. But they like this. He's a big believer in this idea. And, you know, the bottom line is when this came up for vote, I think it was 26-4 in favor of doing it this way. So, you know, these teams knew what they were getting into, although I'd like to see it be a little bit different.
Elliot Friedman is with us from the NHL on Sportsnet Hockey Night in Canada. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Edmonton at Tampa Bay last night. We saw Zach Cassian kick kick the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Eric Cernak.
Yep. And I was talking earlier before the show started and how I was saying that it is different than actually stepping on a player. The comparables would be a Simon or a Pronger. It is a dangerous play. Nonetheless, what kind of suspension do you see him getting? And is there a difference in kicking a player?
Well, it's not the same as Pronger or Simon. Jeff Skinner did something similar like that a couple of years ago, and he got two games. I think, you know, to me, what was going on last night was everybody in the NHL decided they're going to sleep on it and see how they feel this morning. That's kind of what I got the sense of. I think Cassian's in trouble. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Look, you saw Mikheyev's injury this year. There was another one the other night in Vancouver. Thankfully, that wasn't that serious when Zach Smith fell as Pettersson was skating up ice. It was totally unintentional, but he got cut too. And the league is really concerned about these cuts. They have a laceration committee, and Chris Johnston talked on Headlines last week about how, you know, they're thinking of making wrist protection mandatory, and they've got a few different prototypes they're going to have a bunch of players wear to see which one they like the best. They're really worried about these kinds of cuts. And, you know, then you do that. Like, you can't have that, especially not the way as the skates get even more sharply sharpened, I guess, honed. And I think the one of the things they were deciding last night, and don't forget too, Cassian's been suspended already this year. So he's got a history, a recent one. I think the thing they're deciding, guys, is does he get an in-person hearing or is it a phone hearing? Because in-person allows them to suspend you for six games or more. So I think that's one of the things they're weighing.
It's got to be in-person, Elliot. It has to be. I mean, that is as dangerous. You just laid it out perfectly. We were discussing it earlier. That is as dangerous a play. We saw it with Mikheyev. And I know he gets him square in the chest and there's protection there, but that's not the point. I mean,
no, if you miss or your skate slides, like, it could be worse. Absolutely.
With Elliot Friedman of the NHL on Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Where do you come down on Chara's cross-check to the throat, chin of
$5,000
Brendan Gallagher? I mean, he gets a $5,000 fine. I know Chara is a highly respected guy. He will go down as one of the all-time great defensemen. But the intent there looked pretty clear.
Well, you can be a respected guy and still make a big mistake.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
but get away with it, apparently, too.
Well, here's the thing about that. And I was working that game live with Colby, and Colby right away was like, Colby was upset by that play. He didn't like it at all. And he said it should have been a suspension. And I was on the air and I said, I don't think that's going to be a suspension. And, you know, I got a lot of hate for that. There were a lot of, even last night, it was funny. Last night I was working the Leaf game and I said that, and the casting thing happened. And I came on the intermission and I said, I think they're going to throw the book basically at Cassian for that. And, you know, my DMs are open and I had people saying, you know, you're a total hypocrite if you think Cassian should get suspended for that. And you didn't think Chara was going to get suspended. And the way I look at it is, you know, I think I kind of have a good understanding of how the league looks at this now. And that is that, you know, they have a database of every suspension over the last 20 years, and here's the action and here's what you get for it. And if you take a look at the way they do things, I know people are like, they have no consistency. I think they actually do. I think you can generally figure out what they're going to do. There just aren't a lot of suspensions for cross checks like that. You know, I know Leaf fans were out there like, that's worse than Kadri on DeBrusque. You know, no, it isn't. You know, Chara made a mistake. And I, you know, the more I think about it, and a lot of people disagreed with me, Scott, I think they should have suspended him. Mm-hmm. But I understand when you look at their history, they don't suspend for that. So that's why I didn't think it was going to be. But, you know, the Cassian one, there's a lot of history from Skinner on the low end to Pronger and Chris Simon on the high end. You've seen them suspend for this. And that's why I believe that they're considering how much they want to go, because if you look through what's happened in the past, you know, Cassian's act has gotten it. Chara's act hasn't. And people may not like that, and I get it, but that's the way I look at it. I think I have a better pulse than I used to on how the league does this kind of thing.
Connor McDavid going down last week for the Oilers, apparently quad injury. And he's back in Toronto, seeing the same team that he had for the injury at the end of last year. Is there any update on that, on when he'll be back or how serious it is?
No, I think that one of the things the Oilers kind of understand now is that with McDavid, you know, and especially now that we've seen that documentary and we understand how he rehabbed and all that, I think they understand that when it comes to McDavid's injuries, they're going to have to cede some control on this.
Mm-hmm.
And McDavid's team is going to drive the bus. So I think when the Oilers go from, we don't think it's that bad, to it's 2 to 3 weeks, it's because, you know, they're being told that they got to go see him and they want to work with him. So I think we stick with the timeline, and until told differently, I think we should expect that it's going to be right around the trade deadline.